Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back here on Cody and Gold. If you're stuck at home, you can listen on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Alexa, or hey, Google. Play 610 Sports Radio, Kansas City. You can also listen on the Radio.com app, making it easy for you as we're all broadcasting from home in different locations today as well. Coming up in 10 minutes, the number one trending show on Netflix has me absolutely hooked. I think all three of us watched at least one or two episodes last night. Some of us maybe watched five or six, or other people around the station watched the entire series already in one night. So that's coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, we want to get back into baseball and where things stand right now in terms of the suspension of the start of the MLB season and what could it mean for some of the young players on this Royals roster or the Royals organization. We go out to the 610 hotline. Welcome in our Royals insider, brought to you by Unlimited RV. Of course, Josh Vernier can be heard on the Hot Stove tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Vern, what's going on, man? We should be 24 hours from opening day. You're a little sad today, knowing that we're not going to get that?
Yeah, without question. I do have a question for you guys, though, Cody in particular, because that show that you're referencing, I am two episodes in and was told by my wife to watch no more because I have to save the rest of it to watch with her because she saw you guys and many others talking about how crazy this Netflix show is. Are you guys for or against saving shows to watch them as a couple?
I'm both. I think you have to have shows that it's fine that you watch together, but you definitively need your own shows that you're not sticking around waiting for. I'm not saving every show. You want to save a couple? Cool. We got a couple in the coffer. All right. But I think that you can't like hold me hostage for like 10 shows because then, Vern, you know, we'll never get through anything.
No question. And normally my shows are sports, and obviously those are not happening. And with my wife being a nurse, I feel as if I need to be extra supportive right about now. So I'm basically doing whatever she says.
I think that's smart.
So what the hell are you watching? You've got to be getting stir crazy.
Yeah, I am. I'm watching a lot of MLB Network. They've been airing a lot of just old baseball shows and highlight packages and whatnot. I'm still getting my fix to answer your first question, Alex. Yes, I am sad about tomorrow, but I'm happy to know that most of my friends and family are all feeling well.
Vern, when you're thinking about the way this season's going to go, Jeff Passan had put out his story earlier today suggesting some of the things baseball was looking at, still hoping for an early June start, multiple doubleheaders a week, playing games later into the year, possible neutral site baseball. Are there any that you find unpalatable, ones that you would just hate to see? Because I think all of us would just say shorten the damn season. But if we know they're not going to do that, are any of those ideas that maybe Jeff Passan was kicking around that the league is bother you so much that you would just want them to completely not do it?
No, because, you know, we're all hip to the game, right? As far, look, I, for one, am a huge proponent of shortening the season. I think that is a necessity for the long-term health of the sport. I think it's silly to try and get as many games as possible in over the next few months, whenever baseball is given the green light, you know, multiple doubleheaders. I think it's silly. I think the product will suffer. Yes, they will have expanded rosters and whatnot, but I think the game will suffer. It'll look desperate, and it'll continue to paint baseball in a negative light. Sure, opening day will be a big deal, but after that, I feel as if the narratives that have been around Major League Baseball for years will only intensify if you're seeing 4A pitchers out there in the second game of a doubleheader in the eighth inning of that second game when it's, you know, 10-2 and no one's interested. I would like to see a shortened season, but again, I'm hip to the game and I understand money rules everything. The owners want theirs, the players want theirs, and the only way for both sides to be happy could be cramming as many games in as possible.
We're talking with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, here on Cody and Gold, brought to you by Unlimited RV. I'm sure you've seen the proposal that was thrown out there from Scott Boras. He says, 162-game season, and let's play a World Series on Christmas Day. Is that just Scott Boras being Scott Boras, or do you think there is a scenario where this postseason for the season upcoming, if we get to that point, could go into November and ultimately into December, even at neutral sites?
Well, I think it will go into November, regardless of how many games they end up playing. The neutral site idea, you know, I can have that conversation if we're talking about the World Series, if you want to start treating the World Series like the NFL does the Super Bowl, where every year the World Series is in a different city. But if you're talking about doing that throughout the postseason, that to me is going to be an unmitigated disaster. Miami, Los Angeles, if the ALCS happens to be Kansas City against Oakland, you're going to see half-full stadiums to watch the ALCS, and that would be, again, a disaster. The World Series, I think people would travel for, so that would be fine. But the reason why October is so very special, and we all lived it just a handful of years ago, is that buzz in the stadium, that buzz throughout the city, the buzz throughout the entire state. That, to me, the thing that is great about baseball, which is something that is also its detriment, is how provincial it is, how much you care about your team and only your team. That shines through in October. And that's a dark cloud over the regular season because many people in Kansas City don't care about the Angels or Yankees, Marlins or Mariners. Baseball has to find a way to make each game more important. And again, I think that goes back to shortening the regular season. But as far as neutral sites in October, I think it would work for the World Series. But the series before that, I think it would. It would turn out very poor.
Here's a two-parter for me in relation to that, Vern. If you're saying twice weekly doubleheaders, what roster sizes are we talking about for the rest of the regular season? 30? And does that mean we're going to get more guys like Scott Blewett, or are we going to actually see Brady Singer sooner? That's what you're talking about, that 4A thing. Like, if teams have a player like Brady Singer, does he get more time, or do we see more out of those 4A players in the early going?
Yeah, 30 at least, right? That would be the starting point. But, man, multiple doubleheaders a week, you wonder if that goes up to 32 maybe, 32 position players, or 32 players, period. I don't know if they're going to cap it at 17 pitchers like they currently have the cap at 13 pitchers with a 26-man roster. That'll be interesting to see, but I think 30 at minimum is where they would need to go to. And then as far as the type of players that we're going to see on the team, man, I would really be interested to hear the spin from the organization if Brady Singer isn't one of those 32. Right. Because the guy's already one of the 13 best pitchers, one of the 5 best starters in this organization. But I think we could understand why you want him to start in the minor leagues, overcome some adversity, or build up some confidence before making that big league debut a month or two into the season. But if you're expanding rosters that much, and you have the aforementioned, with all due respect to soft tossers like Eric Skoglund and Foster Griffin and Scott Blewett, if you got those guys coming out there getting more than likely tattooed when you have an ace in the hole, no pun intended, with Brady Singer, that's going to be a difficult sell to fans and to the media. So my answer would be Brady would have to be on the team if you go 30, 32 players. And if he isn't, Dayton is a very forthright individual. It's a very honest organization talking about the Royals. So I just don't know what the reasoning would be to not have, Singer and Kowar on the team.
Vern, tomorrow night, of course, you got the
idea
hot
that we
stove.
Were kicking around.
Oh, go ahead, Cody.
Sorry, just real quick, Vern. We were kicking around the idea about the possibility of how they were going to change it. One idea Gold hated that I was at least curious what you thought about was, what if they did double headers but the second game was seven innings? Would that bother you?
I'll be honest. I'm a proponent of the game, period, going to seven innings across the board. So no, that wouldn't bother me. No. Short answer is no, that wouldn't bother me. But the thing that's kind of bouncing around in my head as I answer that is, the players' union, getting them on board as far as, certain incentives and whatnot, and how much that would affect, again, the money coming into the pockets of the big league players as they get ready for arbitration years and, free agency. But no, I'd be in favor of that immensely. Both games should be seven innings.
Vern, what do you got in store tomorrow night? Of course, everybody can hear Josh Vernier on the Royals Hot Stove, 6 o'clock on Thursdays.
Yeah, I'm going to go over, we're going to be joined more than likely by pitching coach Cal Eldred to get an idea of how long spring training part two will need to be. The communication that he's had with the aforementioned Brady Singer, Jackson Kowar, and the rest. But I want to discuss some of these rule changes that have been proposed by Major League Baseball, and that I want to have a real, open, frank conversation with real diehard baseball fans about what must happen going forward to make this game viable. Baseball's never going to die, but baseball's going to continue to be stuck in the mud in fourth place behind the NFL, college football, and the NBA, unless they make drastic changes. We'll discuss all of that Thursday night at 6.
We'll be listening. That's Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, brought to you by Unlimited RV. We'll also let you get back. Maybe you should sneak in one more episode of Tiger King this afternoon.
All right, let's just keep it between us. Don't tweet anything, please.
All right, that's Josh.
I'm only
Vernier.
Two episodes in, so we're in the same spot, Vern.
All right.
You guys are just a couple episodes in. I know Serta is 5 in. I barely started episode 6. We had a few people texting us on the text line 69306 asking what show and where they watch it. Tiger King, it's on Netflix and everybody's been talking about it. It is the number one show. Yes. On Netflix. Is that the tiger? Did you get that tiger from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer film studio right before all the Bond movies? That's all I can picture when I heard that tiger sound, by the way.
No, it's just a bank of sound effects. I can literally just keep it running, and it'll just go over and over again.
Yeah, the tiger's in the background. So Tiger King is on Netflix. Everybody is talking about it. It's Tiger King murder, mayhem, and madness. And so there's a zoo owner, Joe Exotic. And he eventually is like spiraling out of control, but it's not just him, Cody. It's sort of like, I thought it was just about him. There's this whole world of big cat breeding, and all these people are nuts. It has everything. This show has everything. You name it. It's got cults. It's got three-way marriages. It's got murder. Everything.
I honestly, we're going to spend the next like 13 minutes on this. I've only watched 2 episodes, and it does not even begin to give us enough time to watch it. So if you haven't watched the first 2 episodes, Look, I'm sorry if I ruined some things for you, but in no way can I properly describe what you're going to see in the first two episodes anyway. Because in two episodes, I have to decide, one, is every person in this show operating a cult? Two, did someone murder their husband? Three, did someone go back to work 10 days after their arm got bitten off by a tiger?
Yeah,
like, there's so many things that happened within the first two episodes. I can't even, like, to take in.
They're also working for, like, $125 a week. These people have them brainwashed. It is like a cult.
The people that work for Carol are just working for free.
Yeah, she's got the game figured out. She's smarter than Joe and Doc and these other characters. She's not doing anything different than they are in terms of her claiming she's this conservatory and all this kind of stuff, conservation place, I should say. She's just found out a way to brainwash some people as well in a different way, and that is making them think she's doing something for good. So yeah, they're working for free. It is a show that reminded me of how hooked I was. You guys have seen Making a Murderer, I'm sure. There's two seasons of it, and it's like it tells, you know, the whole story of how someone was potentially, you know, the differences in the justice system and how economic impacts it, you know, and what's true, what's not. And I was absolutely hooked to that show. This show is the same for me. Like, it has everything. I'm hooked. I almost watched the whole thing last night. I'm going to be, when I get home from work today, after the show, I'm going to watch the final two episodes. And everybody's talking about it. It is a much watched show right now.
Like, for me, there's just, like, I don't know what my biggest question is in the first couple of episodes. The murder thing was just really passed over very quickly with Carol Baskin. So I've got more questions there. But, like, Bhagavan, who was calling himself a doctor the entire time, it turns out he calls himself a doctor of mystic arts, is definitively running a cult. I think there's a pretty good chance Joe Exotic is running a cult, and even uses the word cult.
And Joe Exotic is just giving those people drugs. The other guy is definitely running a cult.
Well, his employees are dedicated, and I'll definitively give him that. And I don't know what other weird way this is going to take, because I don't want you guys to ruin it for me, because you're further down. But in the two episodes I've seen, and that's, I guess, we can continue this conversation tomorrow when maybe I get a little bit further along in this thing. But, I mean, where to even start with just the general business model that is wild pet exotic training? They got to the third guy there who's driving like a Bentley into his house, who's a former felon who's apparently dealing
Lowe.
In these things.
The Cuban guy that they called Scarface?
Yeah, the Cuban guy.
Oh, that guy, too.
That guy.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, that guy's legitimately terrifying. That guy will feed a tiger to somebody. Or feed somebody to a tiger.
Yes. And has, on multiple occasions, I have to assume. There's just so many things going on. I'm fascinated by where it goes next. You know, I'd actually heard of Joe Exotic because they were running some of his ad campaigns on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. So I'd actually seen this guy mentioned before, only to find out that, like, all of this is going on besides it. Like, I have a lot of questions about Joe Exotic and how he became the person he is.
Shaq tried to buy a tiger from
president.
Him.
He ran for president.
Who tried to buy a tiger from him?
Shaq.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's a cut.
Is that later on in the series?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was in the first two episodes. They show Shaq talking to him. It might have been in episode three.
It's later.
But I also remember the story of Shaq getting in trouble for purchasing tigers that you're not allowed to purchase.
Right. And the show he was someone that was added into the story. Each episode, it takes a turn that you truly don't expect, and it just gets crazier and crazier as it goes on. And I still think whenever we're done watching it, we're going to have a million more questions. Like, that's why I'm hooked, is because I have so many questions after each and every episode about how crazy these people are. But we can say it's like it's all crap, and you hear the story named Tiger King, you're like, what on earth? Why am I going to be interested in this? But I'm telling you, if you watch one episode, there's no way you're not going to want to finish the whole thing. And there's no way. You cannot just tell me you're going to watch one and not watch more than that after.
We didn't even mention the polygamy. Can we, like, is that even something we're going to discuss here?
Yeah, that Bob Levine guy or whatever his name is, he's creepy, and he only wants virgins, and he's married to, he won't even say how many people.
I'm genuinely concerned for most of the people who are living on both of those properties. That I can't get over that one girl going back to work after her arm got bitten off by a tiger. And then they gave her the choice. They're like, hey, so it's going to be like years of reconstructive surgery, or we're going to have to do amputation. She's like, that's cool, just cut it off. And then 10 days later, she's like, yeah, I'll figure out how to use this, and it's fine. You're like, this is insane.
Yeah,
who are these people? Where do they find this many
people?
That
they're paying, the people that go to these places, they're paying $500 to $600 minimum to go and pet, you know, basically pet these baby tigers as well. It's not cheap. Like, who are the people that are spending $600 to go to these places to begin with?
They show one guy Jack. Who was like, this is the second time we've been here yes. this week.
Jack, another.
This is the second time we've been here this week.
It's unbelievable. Okay. So Carol obviously killed her husband. Like, we can all agree on that. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. But
or hired somebody.
You can't go anywhere on Facebook, whoa, Twitter, whoa, whoa, whatever right now without them talking about it.
Wait, but I'm only two episodes in, and it is not definitively clear. Really, it's just two crazy people saying that Carol fed her husband to the tiger. Do we get more clarity on that going forward?
Oh, yeah, episode three is all about it.
You'll have a good idea of where you lean on that. I don't know if she actually did it. She may have hired somebody. I don't think she necessarily fed him to a tiger.
Carol's crazy.
You actually think, you believe the meat grinder conspiracy?
No, but I think that she killed him.
Okay. All right, just wait. Text line 69306. Tiger King was nuts. Finished that, now hooked on Designated Survivor. Two completely different shows, but okay. Exotic Joe holding a baby tiger saying, here's $5,000. Yeah, it is an unbelievable show.
I'll watch more tonight so we can talk more about it tomorrow. Listener interaction 69306. We are continuously curious about other people's theories on this show. I think they're all in a cult. I think there's probably some murder involved. At least one dude is considered having sex with a tiger. And then beyond that, I'm still just lost.
Wait, where'd you get the last part there? You think that's going
on
as well?
He keeps calling him sexy all the time.
Yeah,
he calls them sexy like 47 times in the first two episodes. I can't overlook that.
I don't think he's sleeping tigers. With the tigers.
I don't think that tiger's going to let you do that.
I said
Cody.
I thought he'd think about it.
I don't think you talk about getting bit. I don't think that's going to turn out well for anybody.
That lady that got her arm torn off, that whole scene was just awful. Like, they actually showed her on the ground with half an arm, and they were freaking out. They were just like, yeah, the arm's gone. The arm's gone.
And then he had a paramedic's jacket on for some reason, Joe Exotic did. Did anybody else notice that?
That guy, he's an absolute character.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.